We look together in God's Word in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we begin reading with verse 1 through verse 5, and our particular focus is verse 2 and 3, found on page 1298 in your pew Bibles. People of God, hear the glorious good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. People of God, that portion of God's Word. Well, in the hymn sing before the service, we sang a song that focused on multiplied grace. Multiplied grace, and that is exactly what we look at, that theme here this evening. May the grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is the declaration, but the expectation for having some idea of what this is about is certainly assumed by Peter. It is not something that every time you see the word grace and every time you see the word peace in Scripture, that there is then a exhaustive definition of the terms. But as we look together at the entirety of Scripture, we know that those terms have a depth of meaning that impress themselves upon the child of God and our daily experience before the face of God. May the grace and peace be multiplied to you. Multiplied grace has a beginning with obtaining grace and peace. When we think of grace, we have to think of that in terms of God's undeserved mercy flowing out of His divine love to lost sinners. That this is the heart of grace. Sometimes people explain it like this, and I find nothing wrong with this explanation. Some you children, it takes the letters of grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a good phrase to describe the nature of grace. It's God's riches towards us at Christ's expense. Because Christ suffered and died on the cross, all of the riches of God are poured out upon us. Because Christ bore the wrath of God, the grace of God is now the avenue through which the blessings of God come to us. Now, the word grace in the New Testament is a Greek word that has a variety of meanings and connotations connected to it. All of which, or many of which, in a variety of places, have the connotation itself helps us to understand the nature of grace. The word grace has one of its root meanings is gift. It's a gift. And so when we think of grace, we ought to think of gift. There is a gift element and nature to the reality of God's grace in our lives. Now, one of the meanings is gratitude or thankfulness. And we certainly don't think of God thanking us or God being grateful to us. That's a theme of this word that's simply not found in Scripture as it applies to God. When we think of God's grace, it's not like God is thankfully doing something for us because we deserve it. No, it's actually the opposite of that. It's a gift. It is a gift. And so we see this clear declaration from Scripture about that meaning. His actions to us filled with love and mercy, undeserved pity, these are all elements of the grace of God. Not earned, not deserved. In that sense, mercy, grace, pity, these are all words that combine together to give us this fuller understanding of the word grace. Grace be multiplied. Grace be multiplied, which means that you've already experienced it. You've already had some of that grace. But God wants that grace multiplied in our lives. It's never like He gave us grace at one point in time and now we're finished with it. Not at all. It's something that God would have for us as His people daily. It's new every morning. We're reminded of the passage in Lamentations. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercy is new every morning. And we flow out of that great hymn of the faith, Great is thy faithfulness, to declare that. The grace of God be multiplied. Peace. Peace be multiplied. Now, the word peace in the New Testament may have as a word many connotations towards warring factions now at peace. But in the Old Testament, it has an even broader and deeper meaning. And of course, we understand the meanings of the New Testament words in the context of the Old Testament. Not just the Greek language, but in the context of God's revelation. In all these pages, as it relates to us, peace. You may have known the Old Testament word for peace, the word for shalom, wholeness, well-being, blessedness, certainly lack of warfare. Peace, first of all, with God. Peace replacing enmity, wrath, and judgment. Peace of mind, peace with ourselves, peace with others, peace in the church, peace with the world to as great a degree as possible. God says, live, if at all possible, live at peace with all men. Grace to you and peace. First of all, from God. First of all, that peace with God. But then that peace then has its impact in all other areas of our life. That shalom, that wholeness and well-being. And so, people of God, these are the truths, these are the realities that God sets before us, and that these be multiplied in our lives. May they be multiplied. And this, of course, is a greeting of God. It's a blessing that God has given. And so, the point being, be multiplied to you. And here's the reality. As God's grace and God's peace are multiplied in our lives, that's what then results in living for the glory of God. So that pattern is followed here. And though it's not emphasized in our particular text, it is in the context of 2 Peter. So he will talk about obtaining a like faith. Grace and peace multiplied. His divine power is granted all things pertain to life and godliness. And then you've received His gracious, great and precious promises, verse 4. But verse 2 as well as verse 3 and 4 are connected to verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. And in those verses, it's lifestyle, living, now acting. And so the blessing of God results in living for God. And so we shouldn't just look at verse 2 in isolation, but where the blessing of God comes, God's people respond, making every effort. than to live in accordance with the grace and the peace that God has given us. May the grace and peace of God be multiplied to you who have obtained a faith of equal standing that we looked at just last week. May the grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is the grace and peace of God given to his people? Well, it is given by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. It's given in a blessing that is given to God's people. It is given to you. It is also given and intimately tied with knowledge. Multiplied grace and peace in knowledge. In knowledge. Through the revelation of the Word of God. The grace and peace of God is multiplied to us in our relationship to what we know about God, what we know that God has done in history, the revelation of God in His Word, through the reading of God's Word. I pray that you're all reading the Word of God. It is one of the means that God has used to in order to increase or multiply grace and peace in your lives, through studying the Word of God. And many years ago, I learned an illustration about the Bible, and it says there are four fingers to understanding, or there's four fingers in our relationship to God connected with the thumb, and the thumb is connected to all the fingers. You study the Word of God. You read the Word of God. You memorize the Word of God. You hear the Word of God, and you meditate on the Word of God in all those areas of life. And so you ought to be involved in reading, you ought to be involved in studying, you ought to be involved in memorizing, and you ought to be involved in hearing the Word of God. Now, the hearing of the Word of God comes through the preaching of the Word. But those others are more focused on personal devotion, although you can hear the Word of God online through millions of sermons available, so you could, well, you couldn't because you couldn't stay awake that long, but you could listen to sermons 24 hours a day, but that wouldn't be helpful for anybody. But you have the balance of those things, and that hearing is essential. These are basic areas of discipleship and understanding. And then on all of those areas, then you meditate on that Word. So that knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ just doesn't come because we are meditating on some kind of... Eastern religions say meditating is emptying your mind so that you can come into contact with the vast oneness of nothing. And if you empty your mind, then you will truly find spirituality. The very opposite is the case from the Word of God. It doesn't tell you to empty your mind. It tells you to fill your mind with knowledge from the Word of God. And you meditate not on nothing, but you meditate on those truths. And as we do that, grace and peace are multiplied to us. It is a pathway. It is the context in which grace and peace are multiplied to us. And so the psalmist will declare in Psalm 119, verse 11, and we could pick hundreds of other verses, I have stored up your word in my heart. I have stored it up. I've memorized it. I have taken hold of it. Knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's knowledge of God. And once again, in the context that we see, as we saw in verse 1, God and Savior is a reference to our God, the Father, the first person of the Trinity, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the second person. And we have that repeated in verse 2, a knowledge of God, the Father, and of Jesus, our Lord. This is a greeting. It's a personal pronouncement, and it drives home the point that God and Jesus Christ are the ones that are declaring to us grace and peace. It is the knowledge of God Himself. It is an understanding that this God is giving and bestowing divine favor. This is a divine giving. It's a gift. It is a gift. It's an apostolic word, but it comes to us. This granting, this gifting of grace and mercy and even knowledge. Knowledge itself is, as it were, a gift. And all that associates it comes from that long pattern of God as He has established it. This greeting. I don't know if you've noticed, I'm sure the elders are well aware, that when young men are studying for the ministry, they come and they pray that God would bring a blessing upon us as they begin or into service. And when one is ordained into office, there is then the greeting and the benediction and the raising of the hands. Now people say, and that is reflected in this verse, may the grace and peace be multiplied to you. That follows the Old Testament language. This is Peter or Paul or John or the other authors of the New Testament in their benedictions and in their greetings are following that pattern that God established, where the priest, the one who is representing us before God, but also making pronouncements about God to the people, makes his declarations. And so in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 and following, Numbers chapter 6, we read this. Concerning that blessing that is given. And the Lord said to Moses, saying, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That grace multiplied aspect. The Lord lift up his presence upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. The blessing of God identified with us. God with us. God blessing us. God supplying, greeting, blessing, all wrapped together. The blessing that comes from God. The knowledge of God that's connected to the blessing of God. But in 2 Peter, once again, just as in the first verse, we see this glorious parallel between God the Father and God the Son. This is not common in the Old Testament, because the fullness of the revelation of the Son is now been upon us. So the blessing takes a little different focal point. It is an increased focal point, not just the Lord bless you, but now the Lord who is the Father bless you, the Lord who is Jesus Christ bless you. There are some who see in that three declarations of Lord in the Old Testament a reference to the Trinity. It is certainly maybe a hint at the Trinity. I think it would be hard-pressed to grasp that all out of that text. But in the New Testament, it's clear that the grace and peace comes to us on these parallel tracks of Father and of Son and of Holy Spirit, depending on the greeting that is specifically given. I was reflecting upon this and thinking of it as God bringing into us, into our lives, His blessing and His peace. And I thought of a train track and about how there are two tracks, and it's those two tracks, the Father and the Son, that are carrying the blessings of God to us. But then I was reflecting a bit further on the Holy Spirit. And if you're in some places out east, the trains are electric, and that electric line that supplies the power, there's a certain sense in which the Holy Spirit is the power that impresses the grace and the mercy of God upon us. And so whether it's Father and Son, which is actually sometimes my greeting, or Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which at other times is my greeting, following the patterns in the New Testament, we know that it's the triune God who brings his blessing upon us. But it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Grace and peace to you from Jesus. Grace and peace to you empowered by the Holy Spirit, which says that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And so, people of God, we are then to experience this multiplied peace, this multiplied grace, even as we are growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of God the Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be confident of that word. Trust that as you study that word, God is using that as a means to multiply his grace and peace in your lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, his divine power, verse 3 says, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to be to his own glory and excellence. We have, by God's grace, been granted all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is the introduction to a paragraph, although it's flowing out of verse 2. There's paragraph separations in the English, but there's no paragraph separations in the Greek. In fact, there's no word separations in the Greek. They didn't have that much paper, so they just wrote continuously. No word separations, no paragraph indentations. It's all just words flowing together. And so when we see paragraph separations, those are really interpretations. But don't ever think that one part of this isn't connected to the other. It's all connected. And so you see the blessing of God coming, and then the declaration concerning that grace and peace at work in our lives and all things that we need. His divine power has granted to us all things. And here we might say that it's the Holy Spirit that is often associated with the power of God at work directly in our lives. It's the Spirit. And so his divine power may well be a reference to the Holy Spirit's work. His divine power, the Spirit of God at work. And then that's connected to this whole theme in this next, in English, this paragraph, these sentences that are connected together, particularly beginning with verse 8, as it then declares, "For if these qualities are yours and increasing," there we see the same thought in terms of multiplied. So we have multiplied qualities that here in verse 3, God is promising us. "For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see these repeated themes in 1st and 2nd Peter. And then in verse 11, "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And so we see this continual flow of these promises of God, rooted in the knowledge of God, which is ultimately highlighted again in 2 Peter chapter 1, as it ends with verse 21, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So we see the Word of God, the three persons of the Trinity involved in our lives, in granting to us everything that we need for life and godliness. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Divine. is not a major word that's used in the Bible. It's derived from the word for God. It sounds just like the Greek word for God. His God power, the God power, has granted to us everything we need. His divine power and His divine nature are at work in multiplying and granting to us grace and peace. These are the attribute of God Himself. And it says it is His divine power that has granted to us all things. The word in the New Testament for power, this is a word for strength, power. This is a word that is totally consistent with the biblical concept that God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. And He has the power to accomplish what He desires to accomplish. He can do what only God can do. No one else can do it. And so what God alone can do is declared here. No man can do these things. And once again, this is connected to God and Jesus Christ. Again, that emphasis on the divine power of Christ at work within us, so the Spirit flows from both Father and Son. And He says it is His divine power has granted to us all things. It's not just for an apostolic, an apostle. It's not for pastors. It's for all God's people. The emphasis in the whole passage is on the entirety of the people of God. Verse 1 is a declaration. To those who have obtained a like and equal standing with ours. So it's those, all other believers and the apostles. Our in verse 1. Verse 2, you. That's an emphasis in 2 Peter on this is true of every single true believer. Everyone who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ. We have what the apostles have. And so that emphasis is given. The apostles are gifted, we are gifted. The apostles have power, we have power. The apostles have knowledge, we have knowledge. The apostles have a calling, we have a calling. The apostles have promises, we have promises of God. And His divine power has granted to all things that pertain to life and to godliness, all things. God hasn't shortchanged us on anything. He has given us. He has granted to us all things. Granted. He has given. He has gifted. Again, the word here in verse 4, in verse 3, that He has granted to us. That word grant is a free gift not earned or deserved. It is that God has, it's not something that we have to earn, it's not something we deserve, it is ours freely. Grace, multiplied grace, free grace, salvation. And all that accompanies salvation is a free gift. And it's good for life and godliness. Life contrasted to death. General description of all believers. We know that Jesus Christ declared that in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's eternal life. In 27 through 31, it's life, it's eternal life, but it's life that begins right now. So in John 10, 27 and following, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. God gives us what we need. Through knowledge, again, through the knowledge. It's the same theme as verse 2, in the knowledge of God. Now it's through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Again, the promise has come in the context of the knowledge that God is revealing to us. That knowledge that God has given to us. In verses 19 through 21, and once again, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, that's the prophetic word confirmed more fully, to which you will do well to pay attention. That's the promise. That's the knowledge upon which we are rooted and grounded. Grace multiplied. Grace multiplied is finally gets declared through our calling. It's through the calling, this theme. Who called you, who called to the knowledge of Him, who called us to His own glory and excellence. The called of God. The called of God. The beloved of God. Those who obtained a like faith. Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, to those who are called according to His purpose. Again, verse 8, verse 30, and those whom He predestined, He also called, and those whom He called, He justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. 1 Peter 1, verse 15, and I will make every effort so that after my depart, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, 1 Peter 1, 15 declares this calling this way. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He called you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Have you heard the call of God? That's the voice of Jesus. And His sheep hear Him and they follow Him. Do you know that you are a called of God? Because when God calls, people respond. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. This is a theme throughout 1 and 2 Peter, the called of God. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The called of God, elected, and externally and internally called. A divine call, an effectual call, a knowledgeable call, a powerful call, a grace-filled call, a life-giving call of God. A one-time call, the called in these verses, is always referring to a one-time event that has eternal results. A moment that begins, a moment where at one moment I didn't have eternal life, and the next moment I have eternal life, and that can never be taken away. It is an absolute promise. We hold to that in the context of, we know that once a person is saved, once a person is called, they are forever called. It is a call by the glory and virtue of God. He called us to His, and He called us by His glory and virtue. And so this calling of God to a rebellious, sinful people, human race, and He calls His own out. Those whom He has declared His own, He then calls them, and they hear it. They hear it verbally. They hear it in their hearts. They hear it in their spirit. They hear it in their mind. And they look to God. They look to Christ. They look to the Holy Spirit to supply all that we need. But it is to the glory of God. It is to His glory, to His own glory and excellence. That could be both the goal of the calling, but also it is the result of the calling. It is unto, and it is a declaration of, it is an evidence of the glories and the wonders of God Himself. And it's all connected to the great and precious promises that God has given. And we'll jump into that, Lord willing, the next time we're together. But those promises of God, when we see this in verse 4, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, this is what we as God's people would rest in, stand in, is the promises of God. That's what we call it, a covenant of grace. A covenant of grace is a declaration of promises that is grace-filled. And these are gracious, peace-multiplying promises in our lives. People of God, rest upon the promise. Know that God is at work to multiply His peace and His grace in your life through knowledge. Hear the one that called you. Continue to hear Him in His word. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth of that word. And we pray, O God, that we may experience Your grace and Your peace. That we may experience that through the preaching of the word, from the hearing, the reading, and the studying, and the meditating upon that word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we may respond to Your call as we continue to listen to Your voice in our lives. So, O God, bless us and cause us to grow in grace and in peace. As they are multiplied to us, may we grow in our life of gratitude for all that You've given. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.